Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Probate specialist Elaine Byrne is here, and she's ready to answer your questions about wills, inheritance and probate and all of the issues that go with them. And you can email us on todaycb@rte.ie. Elaine, good to see you again. And before we get to the questions, there's a couple of recent cases that you've been keeping an eye on, you want to tell us about. So the first one relates to the estate of a man called John Coughlin. What happened here?
Yes, Claire, good morning. So this gentleman, he died last year in 2021, and he made a will in 2012, and he left his estate to four beneficiaries. Now, he then made a later will in 2015, and he left his estate to five beneficiaries. So he added a beneficiary who in the judgment was referred to as H. Now, he later fell out with H, and he wanted to take H out of his will. So the gentleman, he destroyed his 2015 will, but in the mistaken belief that his 2012 will would take effect. But the problem was that the 2012 will had been revoked by his later will. So he now, on the face of it, had no will. So I suppose just for listeners, Claire, just remember that if circumstances change since making our wills, we need to execute a new will. So we cannot rely on a previous will.
OK, so ripping it up doesn't really work. You need to make a new one.
Exactly.
OK, yeah. So you have another case now, and this involves a marriage and an affair.
Yes. So this was the estate of Mr. X, deceased. And Mr. X, at the time of his death, so he was married to his wife, Mrs. Y, and then he was in an extramarital relationship with Miss Z. Now, Miss Z then, so she brought an application on two grounds. So one, she asked the court to find that she was a qualified cohabitant. And two then, on foot of such finding, she asked for certain reliefs. So she asked to be provided from the estate. So a qualified cohabitant, what it means then is a member of a couple living together as a couple for 2 years or more if there is a dependent child, or 5 years or more in any other case. Now, importantly, it goes on to say that one of the couple, if one of the couple is married, so as Mr. X was here, then that person must have lived apart from the spouse for 4 out of 5 years. So really the question was, where did Mr. X live? So the judge looked at the circumstances sensitively. It was very delicate. And I suppose everybody acknowledged that he was in a relationship with Miss Ed and spent a lot of time with her. But ultimately, the judge found that he continued to live with his wife. So therefore, Miss Zed, so she wasn't a qualified, and I suppose importantly then, she wasn't provided for out of the estate.
Okay, so he continued to live with his wife.
Yes.
That's what the judge decided,
yes,
ultimately.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the listener questions now. And this one, this is a lengthy one to begin with, but let's give you the details. So my grandfather, a widower, died over the summer and left his estate between his grandchildren and only one of his two children. So he omitted his eldest son, who is my father, the letter writer's father. We're considering challenging the will on behalf of my father on the basis of section 117. My grandfather failed in his moral obligation to provide for his child. Both sons are of similar financial means, and my father didn't receive anything extra over my grandfather's lifetime that would reasonably justify his exclusion from the will. Both sons had complicated relationships with their father. And the question is, in general, are successful section 117 challenges difficult to achieve? Do you need a solicitor to lodge a caveat for grant of probate, or is it fairly straightforward for an individual to do it themselves? Elaine.
Okay, thanks. So maybe firstly, if we just remind ourselves of section 117, we talk about it a little bit, and it reads that, so where an application by or on behalf of a child of a testator, the court is of opinion that the testator has failed in his moral duty to make proper provision for the child in accordance with his means, whether by his will or otherwise, the court may order that such provision shall be made for the child out of the estate as the court thinks just. So look, the listener asks then, so are successful challenges difficult to achieve? And I would say yes, it's very difficult to bring a successful claim under this. And I think, Claire, really, that this is correct, because I suppose otherwise, like, I suppose, what would the point be of any of us making a will? Now, the listener mentions that provision was made for one child and some grandchildren. So I wonder, is the listener maybe one of those grandchildren? So, i.e., the children of the left out child.
Yes, and that would be make a difference, would it?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Also, then the listener mentions that both sons are of similar financial means. So it doesn't seem that the left out child is in any particular financial hardship. So I think a challenge might be difficult. And then just on the point of the caveat, so maybe the background to the listener's query on this ground is that there's only 6 months from the date of probate to issue the Section 117 proceedings. So it's a very tight time frame. So in lodging a caveat, it means the probate cannot issue while the caveat is in place. It's fairly straightforward to lodge a caveat. It just is drawn up and stamped and lodged. But I think the listener just needs to be careful, because I suppose, why are they lodging a caveat? And I think the listener, maybe, and his dad, they need to get advice fairly quickly. You know, is there any merits to a Section 117 challenge? Or I wonder, just, is it a case maybe that they're disappointed with the will, but there mightn't mm-hmm. be any and ground
you,
to challenge
and
it?
And if you cause a delay, you might be liable for costs.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. This next one now concerns estranged siblings, and the writer is one of the siblings. My father, a widower, passed away 2 years ago, leaving two adult children who are estranged from each other. My sibling still lives in the family home. I don't know for sure if my father left a will, but if he did, is it likely that my sister is the executor? Due to our estrangement, I cannot get any information from her, but I know that probate has not been granted. What can I do to progress the administration of his estate? I have no money to hire a solicitor.
Okay, so look, I think it's really helpful that the listener has done a probate search and knows the probate hasn't issued. So that's helpful. But look, at this stage and 2 years down the line, I think really the listener needs clarity as to whether there is a will or not. So I would suggest that the listener, that he literally just starts phoning solicitors in the local area or any solicitor that his father might have dealt with to see if there's a will. That's not going to cost anything. If this doesn't bring any joy, then he could put an ad in the Law Society Gazette with details for his dad. So the cost of that, it's €155. And then if a solicitor holds a will, he or she will contact the listener.
Mm, it's fairly antiquated, isn't it? You know, that you can't do a search, not to find the detail of the will, but to establish whether your loved one has made a will.
Yeah, yeah, there's no register. It is literally a case of phoning around, yeah. And I would say then, I suppose there's two possibilities for the listener at that point. So either there isn't a will and he's looking at intestacy, or there is a will. And I suppose if his sister is named as executor, look, he's going to have to do something to get the sister to move along. There is a procedure whereby what's called a citation can issue. I think at that point now, I think the solicitor would need legal advice. So what he could do maybe is there's the Free Legal Advice Centre. He could contact them and he might get help there. Or the other thing, maybe there's free legal aid on a civil matter. Now, there's, I suppose, it's means tested and there's quite a long waiting list, but certainly it would be worth a try.
But you do think that the help of a solicitor is needed?
Well, just when he gets to that point. So yes. If there is a will and if the sister isn't acting.
OK, this next one. I am the child appointed executor. I'm terrified of the other siblings demanding things like the cost of their flights to attend a funeral, cost to gather at some stage in the future to scatter ashes. I've said to most questions that I will refer to the solicitor for advice. How much can I actually decide? Can I divide jewellery and any other stuff not specified in the will? So somebody who has been given the job of executor and is finding that very stressful.
Yeah. And it can be difficult. And I think it's a good idea to at least say to the family that you will refer matters to the solicitor for answers, because it's easier maybe to distinguish yourself, I suppose, as between executor and sibling. So as executor, then the listener has wide powers and duties. So in relation to the expenses for flights, look, I don't think these are legitimate expenses. But I think provided that the listener has the same answer for everyone from day one, I think all will be okay. And then in relation to jewellery and other items not specifically mentioned, so these would fall into the residue. And if, for example, the residue is divided between all of the children, then the executor might organise a get together in the house, and any family member abroad, for example, could dial in and see who wants what. And if there's disagreement, the executor can decide then.
It sounds like it might be a frosty get together.
Yeah,
but as you say, that's going to be the job of the executor, unfortunately, for this person who is not overly happy about it. Now, we have time for one more. Our original family home is on a plot of ground of around 50 acres. The house is to be carved off on a separate site of 1 acre and will be sold in due course. Lands and house have been valued. Does the house have to be carved off before we can proceed with probate?
So, Claire, I don't think that it necessarily has to be carved off before probate. However, I think it is important that there's clarity with what exactly is comprised in the 1 acre with the house, and particularly in the context of a farm. So are any sheds included with the house, or do they form part of the farm? So it occurs to me that it would be useful to get a land registry compliant map marked by an engineer now. Now, it can't be submitted to the land registry until probate issues, but it might avoid difficulties down the line.
OK, because you need to work out, as you say, the boundaries. Also access, you know, if you're selling off the 50 acres.
Yeah, exactly.
OK, now, Elaine, we'll leave it there for now, but you're going to be back with us in a few weeks. And it's always a good idea, because people will have a chance to think about it. It's a good idea to get the questions into us now, because it gives them the opportunity to sit down and compose their question, because they're often quite complex, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we invite people to do that now. And you can email us todaycb@rte.ie. And Elaine Byrne, Solicitors in Meath is Elaine's company, and she'll be back with us a few weeks to take more questions. But for now, Elaine, thank you very much. Coming up next, historian Dermot Ferriter is going to take us back to the hunger strike of Mary McSweeney 100 years ago. That's after this.
Today with Claire Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.